Europe's biggest tech show starts this Friday in Berlin. To talk us through what we can expect to see is Jennifer Dudley-Nicholson. She's News Corp's National Technology Editor and our tech head tonight. Hello and welcome.
Thank you.
So the IFA is an opportunity for companies to display their latest wares. What's caught your eye?
Well, I mean, it's not quite open yet, but I'm assuming that we're going to see a lot more 8K TVs and a lot of smart appliances. This is typically a place where the world's like white goods manufacturers just add the internet for no apparent reason to their goods. So I've seen like connected mirrors there where you can preview makeup looks, for example. I'm pretty sure that they're going to add Amazon to every single product they possibly can. And I expect to see a lot more fridges that you can tap and you can tweet from and you can have a look at what's in there without actually opening a fridge door, which apparently is a thing. People don't want to open their fridge doors.
No, oh, I agree. It's annoying.
So there's no beeping involved because you won't have the fridge door open. And there might also be some mobile phones because this is really a show that's kind of halfway between the Consumer Electronics Show of Las Vegas. And so they shove everything into it to make sure that there's lots of tech coming out before Christmas.
That's fascinating. All right. Is it open to companies or everyday consumers as well?
No, so it's just an industry trade show and it's very large. So it's kind of hard to fathom, but it's in such a large area within Berlin. And there are something like 9 halls and every hall has an upstairs and a downstairs. And so, yeah, pay a thought for your tech journos who are both losing their luggage on the way there from what I've seen so far and then trying to find the best things from amongst just a sea of stuff. Lots of stuff.
Let's talk about something else which is in the stuff category. Apple's planning to make its biggest announcement of the year right after this. What's it expected to unveil?
So they're talking about probably 3 iPhones this year, plus there might be a redesign of an Apple Watch. They've got a TV sort of platform coming out as well where they're hoping to take on Netflix. So it's a lot of stuff, but typically people will be at this point in the year having a look at iPhone stuff because it's such a large category. Like it doesn't quite outnumber, iPhones don't quite outnumber Androids yet, but they really give them a run for their money with really just the one kind of brand as opposed to Samsung, LG, Huawei and all the companies that make Android phones. This year we're expecting to see an extra camera on the back, which will be interesting. But there'll be one thing missing, we think, and that's 5G, which could be a problem in Australia because we're the third country to get 5G and fast downloads to our mobile phones. And to have a phone that you could potentially spend a couple of $1,000s on and be wanting to use for the next 2 years without it, that could be a bit of a deal breaker. So that'll be interesting to see.
All right, let's talk about some other tech news. There's been fallout from last week's announcements about the NBN. Refresh our memories. What was the actual announcement?
So the NBN Co. released their 2020 to 2023 corporate plan. So this is their idea for what happens from the deadline, which is June 2020, for the next 3 years past that. And they've said that they're on track to meet that deadline, but they've changed what meeting that deadline actually means a little bit. And there are also some negative cash flow in there. It didn't quite meet up to the forecast that they had previously.
So what are the consequences been?
So for 100,000 premises, they're saying about 100,000 premises, they won't be connected to the NBN by the deadline. And that's because the NBN is saying, well, it's not really our fault. But all of these problems, all of these premises have problems of some kind. So maybe they're hard to access or maybe they're heritage sites or they require more work. But then they've also had so many houses have been delayed due to extra civic works being needed that they've actually been pushed, 500,000 of them been pushed right to the end of this sort of rollout. And so they won't be able to actually use the NBN by the deadline. And so that's had effects on Telstra and how much money Telstra thinks they can make from the NBN. And also you've got this big category of people who are going to get the NBN much later than they originally expected and therefore spend much less money on it because they can't get it until later.
So what happens to the homes and businesses that won't get the NBN at all by the deadline of next June? I mean, do they have any recourse?
That's a tricky one. So often they're in areas where that can be disconnected. So the NBN really has to make sure that those particular homes aren't disconnected. We've seen a lot of complaints to the TIO about different NBN issues, and it does get very complicated from what I've seen. Some of these houses, though, will just have to hurry up and wait because, like, I've seen instances, for example, where, you know, the rest of the area has been connected via the old pay TV cable network and it just didn't extend down to some homes, or maybe some homes were subdivided and they weren't on the earlier maps. So in those cases, people basically have to make themselves... make mobile connections available to themselves and wait until the NBN can reach them.
So is there any point pursuing the NBN now? Can the government, you know, cut its losses?
I think that it's pretty well advanced. So I was actually quite surprised in the corporate plan that there wasn't any money put aside or any plans put aside for upgrades, because we've talked about this thing for such a long period of time. We've talked about what the ultimate technology would have been and could have been, but there's no plans to kind of get it there, which I thought was quite surprising given that this plan goes for 3 years.
Yeah. Jennifer, thanks for your time. Jennifer Dudley-Nicholson there, News Corp's National Technology Editor.